would be. Welcome in, everybody, to another episode of 410 Sports Talk. I'm James Haskell, along with my co-host and compadre, Glenn Martin. This is a Wednesday night edition. Normally, we do this on Tuesday, Thursdays, but as you can tell, it's Wednesday, and the reason is because we had a presence, of course, out at training camp today, the combined practice with the Commanders and the Baltimore Ravens, and we're here to talk about it. They've been doing these joint practices for the past 2 days, yesterday and today, and they will also do so tomorrow, correct?
No, I think today was the last day. I think it's just 2 days. Am I right?
Oh, for some reason, I thought it was three, but you might
be
right.
Pretty sure it's two, but okay. I could be wrong.
Either way, they got the practices in, and I think that they were probably some of those entertaining practices that we've seen as a program here on 410 Sports Talk. But the other thing too is, and they don't play what they play the Commanders what on the 21st?
Yeah, Monday night football. Yep.
Yeah, but all that being said, how you doing tonight, Glenn? I saw you earlier, but how you doing?
Doing well. Like you said, beautiful day out at One Winning Drive, and it was entertaining. We got pretty good seats for really all of the Ravens offense versus the Commanders defense. The vice versa was on the opposite side, so we didn't get a ton of looks at the Ravens defense versus the offense, but we heard a bunch of, you know, reports from those who did. And it was entertaining day. We did see a couple skirmishes, a couple scuffles, but yeah. You know, nothing too crazy, no helmets being swung about. So it was a good day, and got some extra autographs on the old football. So it was a good day.
That's right. Yeah. So, I mean, I think there's a lot of notes, and it's funny. There's a lot of film that's out there that, you know, or a lot of highlights that, you know, it was cool to see, but yeah, I think maybe let's talk about some injury stuff, because we saw some scary stuff that made us raise our eyebrows. But outside of actually on the field, we know that Marlon Humphrey has gotten a surgery on his foot. Sounds like it was something nagging. John Harbaugh at this point has said that it is not supposed to be long term. So we do know Marlon is out, and we will, don't you guys worry, we will circle back to the cornerback room. We'll get there. Let's just get there. It sounds like people are already asking about it, and Ravens O's Nation's already asking about it. All right, Glenn, let me give my take here. How concerned are you with the cornerback room with Marlon out? I'm concerned. First of all, I'm not going to say I'm not concerned, but I do think it's unfair, and we're getting a little too paranoid, and I get it, like rightly so. And, people are unfairly kind of lashing out at the front office. I just want to say this. It's impossible to build a team without holes. It's impossible. Every year, every player, every position asks for more and more money, a bigger slice of the pie. It is extremely hard to do. If you guys name a team that's perfectly built, you don't follow that team as closely as you follow the Ravens. From the outside in, they might look great. You dig a little deeper, they got problems, just like everyone else, right? So number one, let's keep that in perspective. People, it's like, you know, now everyone's saying, oh, we have no one, and the Ravens didn't prepare, and this, that, and the other. And I understand that there might have been more they could have done, but I just want to back this up for a sec, Glenn. And I want to ask you a series of questions that I asked myself to kind of walk through this cornerback situation, right?
Okay.
Week one is September 10th.
Yeah. Yep.
That's a month, give or take. We'll call it a month. Okay.
The 15th, 16th today. Yeah.
And week one is against a rookie quarterback. Mm-hmm. On a trash football team that's in the midst of the beginning of a rebuild. Every team is a professional team, but let's be honest, the Ravens and the Texans are in two different places as organizations right now. So, but week one, my question to you is this: outside of the fact that we just got hit with Marlon getting surgery, then you look at this whole unit and you start to really gasp for air. But my question is, if Marlon trots out there week one, whatever his, so if he's healthy, if he's back, are you okay? Like, everyone's panicking, but right now the only thing that's really, I know there's been some other things, but the only crazy thing that's actually happened is Marlon's got hurt, but we haven't heard news that he's not going to be back.
Well, yeah. I mean, the expectation, at least what I heard, is that he could miss the first couple weeks, up to the first 3 weeks.
Okay.
But we don't know. Like you said, we really don't know. It could be, you know, it could be a little bit less than that. Now, the concern is Pepe had the...
Sure, he's got that surgery.
So he's not doing good. Jalen Armour Davis, not on the field.
Right.
That's obviously a concern. Trayvon Mullen was put on AR or IR.
Yeah.
Brandon Stevens and Kevon Seymour today were the only two corners that I knew who they were on the field.
Mm-hmm.
That's not good. You know, Akiyesin's still out with the knee. We don't really know what the status is there, when he's coming back. And he was the only other guy with significant play experience. So
yeah,
I am very much so concerned. I think you'd have to be. Now, to your point, do I think they could, you know, if we see Akiyesin back, if we see Jalen Armour-Davis get back, if we continue to see health from Brandon Stevens, Kevon Seymour, do I think they could get through a game against the Texans? Sure, they could, because they're not very talented and they have a rookie quarterback who is going to see some things week one that he's just never seen before. He's probably going to see a lot of it. And the Ravens are still very talented elsewhere, and they're going to put up points too. But that next week, that's the problem is the first few weeks of the season, they're going to play a lot of division games. And I just don't want them to get themselves into a hole division-wise that they then have to climb out of later in the season.
Yeah, no, and I agree with that. Like, I thought about all those things. I just, one of the things that frustrates me is the blame game, right? Like, you can't blame the entire front office for a rash of injuries. What was this, four guys at this point?
Bad luck.
Yeah, you know what I mean? It's the luck of the draw. And the other thing, too, is that we still have some runway, right? Even if Marlon isn't there, just like you said, if Brock comes back, if, you know, all these guys come back, we can put up a fight enough to where I believe that between the offense being high powered with what I've seen so far, I think the offense is extremely promising, has extremely high expectations for themselves, and is looking really good. So if you have an offense going to put up points, the opposing team's going to have to contend with that, right? If you have other units like the middle linebackers, the safeties that are playing really well, you're going to have to contend with that. And let's not forget that football is won and lost in a lot of occasions in the trenches. And I we're going to talk about this, but I know Michael Pierce went down today, but he came back. I'm sure you saw that as well, which was great to hear. Our boys up front are looking really good. So my point is that if you think of like the four units, the outside rush, the defensive line, the linebackers, and the defensive backs, I think as a unit, our defense still is very strong. And so I'm encouraged, and I'm concerned, but I'm not like ready to beat down the front office at this point for the situation that we're in. I think they're going to do everything they can to turn over every leaf to get to where we can. But ultimately, there's only so much you can do when you have four guys hit the injury report.
Yeah, and it is super unlucky. I think the people complaining were really the biggest complaint I heard, and I can understand to some degree, is when they took Trenton Simpson, there was quite a few corners on the board still that had a play experience at big time Power Five schools that maybe in this scenario, with hindsight, that, you know, it looks like they could have went, but that's just adding one other rookie. Does that really make you feel like, you know, adding Keely Ringo from Georgia would have all of a sudden made you feel a lot better?
Right.
I don't think so. So I get the criticisms to some degree, but look, they went with the best player. And then people say, well, they could have brought in, you know, some other guys. Anthony Averett got signed by the Niners. He was still on IR like 2 days later. So he's gone for the year. So maybe Marcus Peters. And I understand, look, they could have done more. And I think they could have, because here's my problem, Jimbo. This was the biggest area of concern for me going into this training camp was corner. I mean, we talked about it. Yours was edge and mine was corner.
Yeah.
And we just had a rash of injuries at the position that I was most nervous about. And Marlon, the big one. I mean, with Marlon going down, he was the only one you felt great about anyway. So, yeah, I mean, I'm concerned, because here's the problem. They said it's a foot injury, and they said they're getting out ahead of it. They didn't want this thing to nag on. All of a sudden, he misses the playoffs if the Ravens are fortunate enough to get there. So they're getting ahead of it, but still – you know, you just never know with these foot issues, man. If this could linger on, even with the surgery.
Yeah, that is a tricky one, and that has you concerned. But I don't know if I'm there. I'm ready to just flat out panic yet. And I don't know. I'm just not playing the blame game yet. I do think they could have done more. And I'm not saying that you specifically are. I just feel like I saw a lot of that on social media, and I was like, all right, let's just take a beat. Let's take a second. It's big news. Let's see what Marlon's recovery is like. Let's see what these other guys can do. And let's look at this defense as a unit and see how we can compensate for some of these, you know, mitigate some of these weaknesses that we have. So this I'll also say, it was funny because I saw Cordell Woodland's tweet about the fact that the Ravens live stream was not showing our defense against their offense,
right?
And that we spared them because their offensive line couldn't block a thing, right? Mm-hmm. Which is, that's extremely encouraging, because Dan Orlovsky was out on ESPN pontificating, waxing poetically, as like they like to say, right? On his soapbox out there. I've been on a soapbox or two. But he said the Ravens don't have a premier edge and they don't have a premier corner. Well, we got a premier corner. Get it right. He just had a foot injury. And apparently today, no one in sight on the offensive line of the Commanders could stop anyone on our defensive line. So yeah, that's really encouraging stuff for me to hear and exciting. So all I'll say about our defense as a whole is, like, just take a second. Mm-hmm. We're going to figure this out. And every team still has to contend with our team as a whole. And this offense, based on what we saw today, is looking really good in my opinion.
Yeah, and we're going to talk a lot about that. But yeah, I think to your point, this is this is a team that didn't have a premier pass rusher last year and finished fifth in the league in sacks. So it's not act like you can't have good sack pressure, a good quarterback pressure and sack results without that guy on the outside, because they did it last year. I mean, they didn't have a guy last year. They were fifth in the league in sacks. So that's pretty damn good. But to your point also, Odafe Owe, he whipped out a spin move these last 2 days that no one had seen before. Apparently this is something he's been working on in the lab with Chuck Smith. And we finally saw it firsthand. He was absolutely shredding the tackles for the Commanders. Now, the criticism is, well, that's not a very good offensive line. But the thing, the Ravens treated them as such. I mean, the defensive front was completely unblockable. It was bad. I mean, I talked to some Commanders, some younger Commander fans behind me, and they were like, Sam Howell couldn't hit nothing over there. I mean, it was bad news bears. And the pass rush was a big part of that. Now, I have some concerns, some growing concerns about David Ajabo. I'm starting to get nervous about him. I was nervous about him after the first preseason game. People say, guys, chill out. He's working on things. He's got a lot, you know, he's got a lot of football ahead of him and this and that, but he wasn't as impressive or as explosive. That's the part I'm not seeing, the explosiveness again. And it's just, it's got me nervous here, Jim. But I like what I'm seeing from Owe. Love it. But Ajabo, I don't know. Remember that injury he had not long back where he sat out for a couple days of practice?
Mm-hmm.
And one practice he came suited, but he didn't actually participate?
Yeah.
I'm wondering if something's still lingering from that issue.
Yeah, I think that's a good point and something to consider. But you're right. Something about the explosion seems off there and not as advertised thus far. So that is a little concerning. And it's also concerning, the idea of leaning on Owe. But ultimately, look, anybody that's been watching it for a long time knows I had a big reaction. Owe, and I've never been like a huge believer. Not that I'm a fan, because I'm a Ravens fan and I want Odafe to crush it, right? But I haven't found myself being ultra confident in us depending upon him, because he hasn't played the most consistent football. But I'll also say this in my defense: you and I have both said that the thing about Odafe and Ajabo, but we're talking about Odafe here, is that they have a long runway out in front of them because they're young in football years. Mm-hmm. Right. And so maybe Odafe is getting it. You know what I mean? Maybe he really is making that jump where other guys come in the league and they're more polished and there's only so much more you can squeeze out of that. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. But maybe he really is getting there and turning the corner and continuing to improve. I'm hoping that's the case. You know, adding a spin move and doing other things is exciting to know that he's developing as a pass rusher. And look, he might be a dark horse this year to come out and break out onto the scene, right? He has all the tools. He always has.
Oh, for sure. For sure.
You know, so maybe this is the perfect time to, let's see, this is year three for him.
Yep. Year three. It's a big year.
This is contract extension year. He gets it done.
Yeah. He's eligible. Absolutely.
You know, so,
but also I wanted to bring up a guy at edge that I think is really been putting on a show lately and still not getting the hype that I think he deserved. Baltimore guy. Showed out in the preseason, was dominant again in the one-on-ones against the Commanders. And to me, he showed the most natural-looking pass rush from the edge. It's Malik Ham, number 50.
Yeah.
6'3", 250. He's not the biggest guy. Certainly not an edge that you'd think would be in there during the run plays. But I can't keep ignoring what he's doing as a pass rusher. This guy has been explosive. He's been quick twitch. He's put moves together. He's put moves and turned them into counters. I mean, I've been very impressed with Malik Ham. If you want to talk about a dark horse to make, not just make the roster, but make an impact on third downs, don't sleep on a Lafayette rookie, Malik Ham.
Yeah, man. He shows quickness and, like you said, polish to his game. But the speed, like just the reaction time is impressive. He's got speed. He's got strong hands. Yeah, and I mean, he showed up in that preseason game, got a little too excited on that one. He had wide open. And I get it. I mean, you're a small school kid and you come out there and the lights are on and, you know, you want to do everything right. But, you know, I'm guessing just like you that game two, he'll feel a little more comfortable and we might see another step forward from this kid. We might see a Michael Pierce 2.0 in that, like, Mike jumped on the scene.
Yeah.
You know, small schools kid out of Samford as well. So, yeah, that'll be interesting to see. I think that's a good one. And it, I mean, it scares you, right, to rely on a young guy like that. But
it does, but there's been some undrafted gems, you know, on the outside across the league. You don't see a ton of them, but hopefully Malik Ham's the next one. It is kind of crazy when you think about certain positions and you go, man, you're competing against first-round picks, and yet here's an undrafted rookie, you know, kind of taking some of their shine. But, yeah, shout-out to Malik.
Well,
Malik Ham for sure.
Yeah, and let me say that as well. We were able to see, just like Glenn said, the offense, as you know, here at 410 Sports, like we were able to see the offense go against the defense. And man, Glenn, your guy, Emmanuel Forbes, had a rough day, and he is skinny, slender, whatever you want to call him.
Yeah.
Dude, what is happening there? Does he have like a parasite? Like, his food get consumed by something else?
Dude, I remember when he came out, he was listed at sub 160. It was like 159 was what he was listed at like over 6 foot.
Dude, when your knees stick out further than your
thighs,
your thigh pads,
it's a problem. Now, he's a hell of an athlete. He's lanky. He's got length. He's got ball skills. He showed that with his 12 picks in college or something like that.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, let's just. Now, look, it's a tough
cover. Your boy Demas, though. Your boy Demas today, I don't know if you saw that one.
Yeah, Demas also.
Undrafted kid made a first rounder look pretty foolish, I think, 2 times.
He did. And then
Demas is big.
Zay did to him.
Put him out the screen. Yeah, put him out the pasture is what he did.
Put him off the screen. You know, I saw some people saying Forbes had a good day. I was there, and it's deceiving because on the pit, because they did live stream portions of it, and there was a portion where it shows him breaking up a pass on OBJ down the right sideline. We were literally sitting directly in front of that. OBJ had Forbes beat by 4 or 5 steps.
Yeah, Lamar underthrew the heck out of that football.
Exactly. Gave him an opportunity to get into the play. He was beat like a drum. A 4-3 rookie corner beat like a drum by OBJ, who's coming off, you know, a lot of negative Ravens fans with his robo knees out there, beat a 4-3 rookie. So, yeah, I didn't see the – I did see him win a fade route over against Mark Andrews, and he was tight coverage, but Mark Andrews had the ball go right through his hands as he elevated
that
for
was,
the ball.
That was like a fade route. Well, it was a corner of the end zone.
He slammed the helmet. Yeah, he's pissed.
Yeah, Mark should have caught that football.
Yeah, like it was good coverage, but he didn't touch the ball.
Yeah, Forbes had the gall to like do the strap. And I'm like, dude, you did nothing. That was Mark's mistake.
Yeah, and that's why he slammed his helmet and almost took out an assistant coach in the process.
Can I just say this real quick?
Yeah.
If players – John Harbaugh once threw his when he was coaching headset with his dad, he threw his headset, and his dad made him go get the headset, and he said it was the most embarrassing moments of his career, right? Because, I think if players do that crap,
if I were
the coach, equipment manager, don't you dare touch that, because a grown five-year-old just threw a tantrum, had a temper tantrum. Now go pick it up, fix your own helmet. Like, I love Mark, and I love everything about, you know, Mark's game and everything. Pick up your helmet. Yeah. Don't have the poor little, you know, equipment manager running around trying to get the screw in and everything. Stop. Like, just take a breath, pick it up.
Yeah, I hear you. I like his competitive fire, but at the same point, there's an awful lot of kids around, right? You want to kind of set a good example for the kids. Who just look,
you know,
up
if Camden decided to throw the controller and walk away,
that'd be problems.
That'd
be problems. Marco G says, would you rather sign Van Noy or Clowney and trade for a vet corner, or trade for Chase Young and sign a vet corner? Well, here's the problem. Signing a vet corner,
yeah,
is, first of all, it's slim pickings. They had William Jackson in, a 30-year-old veteran last seen in a Pittsburgh Steelers uniform. They had him in for a workout, but I thought it was when they asked John about the cornerback market and what's left, and he said, look, what's if
basically
you're
ain't much.
If you're signing a veteran, it's who's in shape. I mean, it gets down to be that bad. Like, who's in shape? Who can come and run with us and help us now? And oftentimes, if these guys aren't in shape, they lose it off of that alone. And sometimes the guy who maybe not as talented, but he's been working all summer despite not being signed, comes in shape and can perform, and he'll end up getting the job. So, yeah, there's not a ton. Byron Jones, you know, formerly of the Miami Dolphins. I mentioned William Jackson.
But does he really want to play? That's the thing about Byron, right?
Yeah, I don't think he does. I think, and that's probably why he's sitting where he's sitting. Point is, there's not a lot of good talent. So the guy that's going to get signed with us is, like John said, the healthiest, the most in shape. Maybe the guy that's got some experience, but, man, there's not a ton. It's kind of slim pickings out there, which makes this whole situation more nourishing trade. Who at this point, when everyone feels like they're in it or at least have a chance, is willing to trade a talented veteran corner?
Yeah,
there's not many out there. Right. So that's the conundrum the Ravens find themselves in with this rash of injuries, mm-hmm. that there's just not a lot of options. And, man, it could get kind of desperate here in Baltimore.
Well, let me tell you something, Glenn. My boy, 2-1, Brandon Stevens, is going to show up like 300.
This is Sparta, and just kick somebody in the chest.
Oh, but what was the Manziel take from them? He tweeted this before the Alabama game.
Give them nothing and take from them everything.
That's how Brandon Stevens is showing up every game this year.
Yeah.
Yeah, man. I think I'm look, obviously it's kind of nerve wracking that we're going to be depending on Brandon Williams potentially as our cornerback one.
Brandon Stevens, yeah.
Or Brandon Stevens. Brandon Williams.
We definitely don't want Brandon Williams getting cut.
He would just grab everyone at the
line. Just press. No one's beating my press.
Could you imagine? Oh, that would be terrible. Yeah, honestly, who would though, right? Like,
right.
But yeah, so guys are going to have to step up. It is what it is. Like, that's where I'm at with this. It is what it is.
Yeah.
We're going to complain about it. We're going to, obviously the Ravens are going to turn over every leaf, but trust in the organization. They're doing everything they can and hope that Martin Lynn gets back. And you got to believe in these guys that they're going to fight. Look, I know we haven't drafted top end guys, but we've drafted guys. Caillou Blue is a rookie. Talk about Pepe is a second year guy. Talk about Armour Davis, second year guy. We got guys that we're expecting to get run out of. They've got to step up to the plate.
Yep.
I don't know. Don C's suggestion is to Miles Boykin sucked at wideout, but can he cover? It back.
That's where failed wide receivers go. They go to corner.
Man. Yeah, well, I don't think Miles has the lateral ability to play corner.
He'd have to be an outside guy, that's for sure. He's not gonna cover the slot.
No, he's gonna push everyone to the sideline. No slants on him.
I guarantee you this, he still ain't catching any interceptions. I guarantee you that.
Unless it's the hardest pass in history and all of a sudden he's just gonna like
Odell.
Yeah, exactly. So back to, I think, what impressed us being the offense. The only question I have for you is there's a lot of timing issues today, I felt like, with the offense. A lot of underthrowns. So it felt like there were some guys
for Lamar, honestly.
Yeah, it felt like there were some guys that outran the route and some guy, and obviously situations where Lamar underthrew the pass. Does that concern you at all? Or overthrew it? There's other ones where it was the opposite.
Yeah, he overthrew Mark once, overthrew Zay once. Yeah, he didn't have his best, especially in the deep passing game. He did not have his best day. I think there was frustration. And, yeah, that worries me because I think that's what's been missing in this offense. And now they have the horses on the outside, because before it was like, well, do they have guys that can create downfield passing attack? I don't know if they do. Well, now they do. And Lamar, luckily, plenty of time. It's not like there's no worry because he was sharp yesterday, but he was off today. There's just no doubt about it. He was frustrated. You could see both him and the receivers talking about it afterwards. It's got to get better because you can't live off of short and intermediate if you expect to, live in that world of space that he talks about is spacing. Well, you got to have an efficient deep passing game to at least scare the defense enough so they can't come up and crowd the line of scrimmage too much. And it also makes it easier on Lamar if he does decide to take off and scramble, if those safeties are back worried about the deep ball. So they got to get better. There's no doubt about it. But the encouraging thing is the wide receivers had they had their guy beat. They were there. And I'm confident Lamar will, you know, given all this time, will iron those things out.
Yeah, I agree with you. I mean, I think ultimately the thing about Lamar that's been the case is he's always been a gamer, right? Like Lamar plays well. Lamar has elite instincts, football instincts.
Yep.
You know, and that's why it doesn't concern me a ton either. I was curious to get your thoughts.
Hey, you know what quarterback showed off some pretty incredible instincts?
If you say Josh Johnson.
You got there. Just before you got there.
If you say Josh Johnson.
Josh Johnson, in the middle of practice, like the warm-ups, leaves the field, goes to that bathroom right by the snowball stand in full uniform, goes right into the bathroom. Fans are walking out like, what the? Other fans are going in like, he's in here in full uniform. I don't know what emergency hit Josh Johnson, but he literally ran off the third field and went right into the.
You think he had a little fart and he caught it between his butt cheeks and was like, I better get over here before I got to unclench here.
Dude, there had to have been something emergency-wise to make him go to that bathroom amongst the fans. Like, he's in there with his helmet, like his full shoulder pads.
Just sitting over the pot, just sweating, man. Like, into the chin strap.
Like, what is happening?
They get out and they're just like a ring of sweat, you know, just all sweat.
A puddle. Yeah, I'm like, what in the hell? And this isn't a single occupancy bathroom. This is a multi occupancy bathroom. So he's in there with the fans, just sitting there. Like, can you hold my helmet? Like, my son wanted to go in with the ball. I'm like, Cam, what are you going to tell him? Hey, you got one free hand. Sign this ball for me. Like, what? Cam, you can't do that. So I stopped him. But I was like, what the hell? That was absolutely hilarious. But here's something else I want to run by you, Jimbo.
Yep.
Tell me if I'm crazy. And I hope nobody who's in our fantasy league other than you is listening, because I'm thinking I might be able to get me an absolute steal in the later rounds of our draft, because I'm starting to think.
Are you not worried about me because I'm not a threat?
No, I'm not. No. I don't really want you to know, honestly, but you're on the show, so I can't hide it from you. Judging by the results of the first preseason game and everything I've seen in all four of the all four of the open practices we've been lucky enough to go
Rich
to.
Rich is on, dude.
What? Oh, Rich. Damn it. See, I already talked to Rich about this, but.
Oh, well then.
I know that the JK is on his way back. He's working, you know, individually and eventually hoping to work up to teams. But. Am I crazy? And I know we're Gus guys.
Yeah.
Justice Hill got the start in that preseason. Gus Edwards got the second quarter reps.
You're crazy.
In training camp today, Justice Hill was running with the first team. Justice Hill was. I saw him catch a deep wheel route down the sideline.
Yeah.
Beautiful. All I'm saying is first team reps right now and every camp and preseason I've seen right now going to Justice Hill.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you can take that pick. You can take that pick all day.
All I'm saying is I could get him in round 15.
He might not even go drafted. I mean,
that's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
But, dude, if J.K. Dobbins is not, you know, who's to say whether J.K. is really going to be the guy everyone's hoping?
And how long will he be in John's doghouse for all this mess?
If he doesn't go, Justice Hill is going to be a big-time contributor in this offense. Huge contributor.
Yeah, I guess that's true. Like, but ultimately, J.K. is going to be there.
I don't know. All I'm saying is pass catching, Justice looks like the best.
Yeah.
Pass blocking, he looks like the best. So who's going to get all the catches in your
pass
PBR
blocking?
League?
Gus is the best back we have.
I'm telling you, he's looking good. I haven't seen him miss, Justice. Right. Yeah. Now, he's been like pushed, but you expect that when you're trying to block a guy as big as like a Chase Young. But
yeah,
all I'm saying is let's not just overlook Justice Hill, because this is a totally different offense. This isn't G-Row. If this was G-Row, I'd say he has no chance.
Right.
This is... I'm telling you, I think Monkton is going, I like this Justice guy.
Yeah. Well, look, the way he runs and the way that he can catch the football, and he's versatile. And, dude, Justice has been like this since last year. Whatever got knocked into him or scared into him or, you know, whatever it was, he does run like a man possessed. That's fair to say. Does he get choppy with the feet? A little bit. But ultimately, I think you're right. It's going to be interesting to see. So I agree with you in that I think that he can be an undervalued player in all of fantasy leagues throughout the NFL. But I still would say if they're both on the board in round 15.
Who?
If Gus and Justice are on the board.
Take Justice.
Take Gus.
In a PPR league?
Take Gus, because 12 weeks in, Gus is, well,
he's going to get the goal line work. Gus will get goal line work.
Yeah. Justice is going to get more receptions. But Gus is just steady Eddie. That's the thing.
He
it's kind of like this.
It's like, how the hell
do you
does
want
he get
the boomer bust? Like, you know what I mean? Do you want the boomer bust or do you want the, like, the all right, floor. I know what I'm getting here. You know what I mean? Like, Gus is going to get you
weird,
like
dude.
8 to 12
How is he not the first back right now?
Yeah.
That's weird to me.
Yeah.
And it's
but
still
I also
carrying
think,
on.
Right. I also think that those reps were just because Gus wanted some reps. I think Justice needed the reps. I think Gus was just like, let me get some.
Do you think you think Justice is anything more than a placeholder for JK, a healthy JK, who, by the way, while right. working alone, not with the team, he looks fast, Jimbo. He looks
good. Yeah,
he does. I hate to say it.
I know, because we've beat the heck out of Justice Hill, man.
No, I'm talking about JK.
Oh, yeah, it's crazy. Also,
he's working by himself, but he looks
fast, he's just a different man. Yeah, just coming out. Yeah, like walking around, JK is stupid athletic. It's just insane. You're right. I mean, you just doing the individual drills, you're like, oh, now I remember why this guy's so good.
Yep.
You know? Yeah, so I'm with you there. But I think JK is just gonna be back but look, every offensive coordinator, just like you said, discovers new guys and new skill sets, and sometimes it's about the fit.
Yep.
Not about
Justin Forsett, dude. Remember him?
Yeah. I mean, how much money Gary Kubiak made him $9 million.
For sure.
You know,
because he found the right fit. You
Gary Kubiak made a lot of guys money, man. Whoo! I tell you what, Gary Kubiak should be getting checks in perpetuity from these guys, man.
He should.
Dude, Clinton Portis.
I mean, look, you put anybody in his backfield, he'll get you $1,000.
He'll get you $1,000, dude.
He'll get you $1,000, dude. I don't care who they
are. With the smoothest accent. Dude, I could listen to Gary Kubiak talk football all day.
He could read me bedtime stories.
He should start a podcast. Old Westerns.
Hey, this is another one I got to bring up, Jimbo. I'm calling the wide receiver room. I'm done. I'm calling it.
You just don't want to practice anymore?
No, I got my six. I got my six.
All right, so let's see. Let me try and guess them. Right. So, I mean, I know the easy ones. Zay, OBJ, Aguilar. Oh, my gosh, who am I missing? Oh, Bateman.
Mm-hmm. Duve.
And Duve, yeah. So it's only six. Who you got six?
So that's five right there. Nope, but I like Tariq Black, practice squatter for sure. He's made plays all camp. All
right, so you're six. Is it Tylan?
It's Tylan, dude. I'm done.
Yeah, what'd you see from Tylan today? He had a nice catch on the sideline, right?
Had another deep ball, like reeled it in. Yeah. He had the beautiful catch in the preseason game.
He's
good on special teams. He always wins. Like
he's a precision puncher,
dude. I like seeing that because he's such a. Like, when you talk to him, he's kind of, like, softer voice. Like, so I love that he cracked him. And he threw first punch. He didn't retaliate. He cracked him.
He was like, nah, you're getting punched today.
And I like that. I think Tylan Wallace has got to be the sixth receiver. He's done nothing but take advantage of every opportunity that I've seen. He's done well at the one-on-ones. He did well at the red zone. He showed up in the preseason game. I just hope he continues to go in the direction he's headed because – I don't want to see James Prochet. James Prochet did have a nice catch in the back of the end zone, but to me, gamers are gamers.
Yeah.
And he ain't a gamer. Yeah. He ain't a gamer. So I want to see him, but if it's not him, Tariq Black, I really like. I think Sean Ryan's had a good camp, but to me, it's the battle for the six, if I had to kind of rank it, it's Tylan Wallace, Tariq Black, and then Sean Ryan would be my kind of third guy. And then Treadwell's after that, dude.
All those guys before Prochet.
Oh, dude, yeah, Prochet's behind Treadwell. Oh, I mean, only because, dude, you can't, as soon as you touch the ball, you get it ripped out of your hands. You don't even fall to the ground. You just get ripped.
You just ran without the ball. Like,
that's the worst fumble. Like, at least if you get wrecked or if the helmet hits it perfectly or something.
You know when you watch little kids?
They just ran by and grabbed it out of his hand.
Yeah, like little kids that play basketball and the one kid is really good and the other kid is bad. And the five-year-old that's good just runs up and grabs the ball and runs the other way. Just
takes it, yep.
Yeah, and it's like, wait, I thought you can't do that. The other kid stops. He's like, that's got to be against the rules. What's
gotta
happening?
Rap, what happened? Yeah. Like, no, he's better. He's just better.
Yeah, it's exactly what that – oh, my gosh, dude, That was an embarrassment.
I'm ready to give Tylan the job. I'm ready to. Jesus, dude. I love Don C earlier. He's like, I love Jimmy keeping his cool when he's battling the.
Oh,
Green
dude,
Street.
You have no idea what I'm going through right now. Like, whew. Yeah. All right. I just changed some things up. Hopefully that helps a little bit. But yeah. No, I think there's a ton to be excited about offensively. I also thought it was interesting. We've seen Ricard working with the tight ends and backs again.
Offensive line over.
Yeah, that experiment is so he's making this team as a tight end or a fullback, or he's not making this team. But he didn't play. Oh, yeah, I guess that's true. He's coming off the injury, you know, kind of thing. But he didn't play preseason. I'll be interested to see what his clock is like in preseason game two.
Well, they still don't have a tight end that can block. So I think his job.
What
like,
about
Vogelek?
Vogelek,
he's big, but he's not even that great.
He's not. I mean, how many people can block at a level that.
He can't block like a D tackle and then go block a safety.
Right. Pat is literally a Pro Bowl blocker. Like,
he's a polar bear.
Yeah.
I mean, absolutely. He's a 6'3", 310-pound guy that can block anyone on the field. That's not something you see every day. But I was glad to see Ricard back with the tight ends and running backs because I was like, Jesus, either that's a really bad look for our guards or that's a really bad look for Ricard's chances of making this roster if they're not even letting him get reps at tight end and with running backs. So I'm glad you mentioned that. I think that's a really good point. I got a lot of offensive notes here. I'm just going to run through. Keaton Mitchell, dude, by the way, Keaton Mitchell keeps getting asked to do more things. I saw him everywhere. He was a gunner, obviously getting a ton of work at punt and kick return. He was getting some first team reps. I saw a couple times with him where he was catching the ball out of the backfield, running from, catching the ball from Lamar. I think Keaton Mitchell is going to be really tough to keep off this roster, Jimbo, because every time they ask him to do stuff, he's been good. They asked him to be a gunner. He got right past the two guys trying to jam him, which, by the way, not a lot of – even veterans were able to get past him. This is a rookie undrafted guy. Right by him. Mm-hmm. Got down there, was able to make a play. I think Keaton Mitchell's going to find his way onto this 53-man roster, which is crazy. But there's no way this guy gets through with the kind of tape he's put on, especially against in a joint practice against another team, which another team got to see him up close and personal. If he keeps playing well in the preseason, no way he doesn't make this team.
Yeah, and it's nice. It's a great sign that he's being used in all these different ways, because what it means is that coach likes something he saw and he's like, all right, well, let's try this out. All right, well, let's try this out. All right, let's try, you know, that out. So it's encouraging for him. And I like what I've seen from him as well. I mean, I think you would agree with me. It's been really exciting to see him, as a player that's easy to root for, right? An undrafted guy who's running hard, doing all the right things. Like, guys like that, you just want to root for. So, yeah, he's really done well and looked like he belongs here, which is exciting. Yep. And also much bigger than I thought he was going to be.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's well put together. I think ultimately Melvin Gordon finds his way onto the practice squad. I don't see a team that would legitimately add him to their active roster unless they see a rash of injuries at running back elsewhere. So I think Melvin Gordon's going to be left out. And that's okay. That is okay. Now, Keaton Mitchell, they could get cute and try and squeeze him through, but that would make me awfully nervous to see him, you know, get scooped up elsewhere. I just think he's too valuable. He can do too many things. Let's see. Oh, I know we touched on him a little bit earlier, but dude.
Oh my God.
This is unbelievable. Zay Flowers' ability to stop. I just want to highlight his ability to stop is so ridiculous. And it's how people are going to go, that sounds ridiculous.
Absolutely what it is. It's stupid.
He can stop like 1 to 2 paces sooner than everyone else on the field.
Yeah,
like,
I never understood what that was in real life until you get deep into sports and you simply realize that I don't need to outrun everyone in front of me. I just need to run fast and then stop faster than everyone in front of me.
Yep.
It's incredible how effective that is. Like you said, it's underrated. Like, people get confused by it. Stopping power is just as, if not important, as your get up and go, like your quicks.
And he has that too.
Oh, it's just
his stop and his start is so ridiculous, Jimbo.
Yeah.
He had that guy, he ran that China route. I don't know if anyone's seen the clip. I'm sure it's floating around. It was right in front of us. Again, we got really lucky where we were sitting today. Mm-hmm. This guy, he wasn't even looking in the right direction, much less he wasn't facing the right way. He wasn't, his head was looking in the complete opposite direction. I mean, he spun this man around and it was even better and more, it was more special looking than anyone on the field, OBJ included. Like, in one-on-ones, they weren't even in the ballpark of him. Like, he was leaving guys in his dust. I mean, this guy is going to be absolutely special, man. If he can stay healthy, Jimbo, And honestly, I know we keep talking about this, but again, Charlie Kohler, look, he can't separate. He can't get open. So that's the problem. He needs to go up and win a 50-50.
So you're
ball.
Bringing up Charlie Kohler following Zay because of my
hot take. One is just ridiculously good looking right now as far as how he's trashing people.
Right.
And Kohler looks how he should look, like a second year guy who didn't play much as a rookie.
Yeah, no, Zay is looking amazing, and you're right. It's the most special thing you see out there right now. That's a great way to put it because it's
the whole
just,
field.
Yeah, dude, it's just insane. I don't even think it's a stretch to say he's got Brembos. He's got ridiculous breaks.
He does,
and he just digs like nobody, like no one else. He can just. I mean, it's he looks like AB. I don't care what anyone says. That's what he looks like. The way that he can get open in such a short span of the field. Mm-hmm. It's insane. I mean, it's so cool to watch, and it's not going to stop. As long as he stays healthy, he's going to have plenty of opportunities this season. Because look, OBJ is going to draw a ton of attention. Bateman, once he's healthy, is going to draw a ton of attention.
Mark,
you better believe Mark, a ton of attention.
And he better, because Lamar still likes throwing to Mark.
Yeah, and I'll also say this. I said this before. I'm not a betting man. But seriously, whoever set the over-under at FanDuel for, I think it was FanDuel, for 800 yards, that means Mark has to get, if my math is correct, you know, on an average, so what, he has to have either eight games of 100 yards, that's half the games?
Less than,
he has to average somewhere under 50 yards a game?
In this offense. And offense, by the way, last year at Georgia highlighted their tight end, who was their best, highest pass catcher.
He's going to fall off the bus with 50 yards.
And when stuff breaks down, Jimbo, who's Lamar looking for?
Yeah, we saw it today. I mean, it's so funny to me because everyone is all concerned. How's Mark going to get the ball? How's Mark? If anybody saw practice today, that isn't in the, like that. This is why, look, let me just say this really quick, Glenn. I want to ask all of you that are out there right now, who that is not directly on the Baltimore Ravens payroll, right? From a media standpoint, is spending 2 hours or an hour and change with you to talk about the practice today that was there. Like, this is where you get the stuff. Like, this is from the source, eyeballs to mouth.
Hold on. You guys. Okay, eyeballs. Okay.
Right from our eyeballs, out of our mouth, onto the screen, so you guys get it here. But my point is this. Just like you said, Glenn, Mark, I think in one drive, he got four balls.
Yeah, man.
And three of them were consecutive.
Mm-hmm.
Because Mark is a cheat code.
Yeah.
It's insane to me. Mark is still going to be the man. Like, I can't wait. I'm so excited for this offense. It's going to look ridiculous. Who's going to guard Mark?
Yeah, I can't wait to see who tries to guard Zay. I mean.
Yeah. You gonna put Joey Porter on Zay Flowers? Who? I mean,
it would be bad for Joey. It would be really bad just because he's a big, long guy. I don't
exactly
think the acceleration from Zay is just.
I mean, I guess Denzel. Denzel's got the best shot. Denzel, what is it? Washington?
Denzel Ward.
Denzel Ward. Yeah. Denzel Washington. That's the freaking actor.
Hey, Denzel can probably do it, dude. Nah, he can do anything. Dude, give him 6 weeks to prepare for a role. He'll be Dion, dude.
Hey, you ever seen him in Fences? Prime. You ever seen him in the movie Fences?
I didn't watch it because I heard it was nothing but arguing, is what I heard.
No, the movie, it's an incredible movie, but it's a ton of great soliloquies by, if you're a Denzel guy.
Oh, I'm a Denzel guy, dude.
But it's not his best movie. Point is, I had a heck of a baseball player.
Yeah?
So look.
I believe
whatever translates.
Yeah, I believe it, man.
But yeah, my point is that, like, I think maybe only Ward has some sort of a show. Who else in the AFC North?
Yeah,
you're gonna put Patrick Peterson on him?
Oh, nah, he's a little too long in the tooth for all that.
Yeah. So our offense is gonna be a problem. I know everyone's worried about the corner and everyone wants a perfect team to roll out there week one. They don't exist.
No.
Like, and look, I also want to say this to buffer my point. This is why you have a franchise quarterback. You remember all those years, Glenn? Now, Tom Brady's the GOAT. Remember all those years when everyone would talk about Tom Brady has no one to throw to. You know, Tom Brady's dealing with all these injuries. This, that, and the third, right? And what did Tom do? He went out there and won football games.
Yep, he made it
happen. Like, when you have a franchise guy like that, That's what you pay him to do. Hey, Lamar, we got some deficiencies here. I'm not asking you to carry everything, but we need some help on defense. We need 30 points a game. We need 27 points a game. Get us there, right? Like, that's why you pay that guy. I mean, if not, then why not? Then why else would you pay him?
Hey, I wanted to ask you something that we haven't had a chance to talk about, even though it's come out. It is something we've seen over a week now. When camp first started, we didn't see any wristbands on the quarterbacks. And then over the last week, we've seen the return to all quarterbacks having a wristband. They all have a wristband now. So does that mean, do you think that's part of the process? Do you think that is any indication on how the quarterbacks are picking up the offense? What do you think all of a sudden all the quarterbacks now have wristbands means?
So I think two things. It could be experimentation is my first thought, just seeing what works better. Ultimately, it's all about Lamar's comfort. But the other thing I think is that
Lamar, just so everybody knows, it was all quarterbacks.
But ultimately, it's about eight. It's about Lamar, right? Yeah. But the other thing, too, is I think it could be about, all right, the most important thing right now in camp is executing the right plays. Like, let's just get the right play in. And then you'll get used to it due to repetition, and you'll be fine. You know what I mean? I think that could be something like that.
Okay.
Free wristbands indicate wristbands indicate free beer.
Nice. Yeah, absolutely. Hey, I also wanted to ask you, we saw Ronnie Stanley's been down with the ankle, and McCary was in there today at left tackle, and they're saying, it's just
that,
this is part of the ankle thing, and there's no worries here. But if that's the case, we also saw a lot from Falele in the preseason game. Looking good no matter which side he was in, left or right, he was looking good. At left guard, it looks like Simpson is the leader. And I saw some good reps from him, but we also remember he's been in this league a few years and he's got some pretty rough tape out there on other teams. Now, it could be that he's just going to find his role here. But if Ronnie Stanley's back, knowing that Falele's progressed in his ability to play both tackle positions, why are we not seeing Patrick McCary, when Stanley's in there, competing for the left guard position? Because I think McCary's better than Simpson and Sala right now, and I want my best five out there. And we don't need to make sure he's available because Falele can play both tackles. So it's not like we're as desperate to keep McCary as that extra guy. Like, if McCary's our best guy, then why is he not getting more competition at left guard reps?
Yeah, I think that's a great point. I don't have a solid answer for you on that, Glenn. I mean, I think their overwhelming desire is to keep him free to play in multiple positions. And then if they need to put him there, then they already know, he can be called upon to fulfill that role. That's my only guess. I see what you're saying. But if Stanley's out, I think what you want to do is you want those two on the left side, right? Just like you said, you want Falele and then you want McCary next to him.
Right. Do you think McCary's, if he was given practice time at left guard, do you think he's a better player than John Simpson and Salah right now?
I think so. Don't you?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Hell yeah. He's better than John Simpson. Absolutely.
Yeah.
So I just don't understand it. I mean, I got it from a standpoint of, you don't want to weaken two positions. If someone to go down, you want to keep McCary to be available. But with the way that Falele is playing left tackle, I would have no problem him filling in a spot role like we expect McCary to do so. But Joseph Eckert says, can Lamar play defensive back? He probably could, but I ain't.
Yeah.
That's the problem. Like, people are saying, like, who's deepest? And, they're going to trade for a corner. Really? Who's out there to give up a good corner?
Right.
Right now, when they think the team's in it.
Exactly. Every team thinks I got a shot, right? So, yeah, you can't. At this point, it doesn't make a ton of sense. But I just want to reiterate that every team has holes. Every team is going to deal with injuries. Every team has holes. This is what makes football painful and interesting one of the reasons why there's so much parity. So, part of the game, guys. We got to figure this thing out. I also just want to mention, because we have failed to do so thus far, our sponsor for the show, BetUS. BetUS is awesome. We've been working with these guys for what, a month or so, Glenn, something like that, maybe a few weeks. And look, they have season-long bets. They have prop bets. They have in-game bets. They have preseason bets. They have pre-game bets. All kinds of bets. A really diverse betting pool is what I'll call it.
pretty much anything you could imagine, you can gamble on.
You can make some money on it, right? It's like it's like if you guys ever seen the Raising Hope episode where they're gambling on kids at the school racing in gym class, and then once that's over, they start racing on the injured kids in school in gym class that have the notes, the doctor's note. Like you can gamble on anything, just anything. Like you said. So
how long the daggone national anthem is.
Right. So go check it out for yourself. And a really, really cool thing, I've said it before, I'll say it every time. It's just an easy way for you if you're gambling anyway, and please do so responsibly. You get to support us here, and you don't have to spend any money except on the money that you're using to gamble, and they will match it up to 125%, up to $2,500. And it's legal in Maryland.
Yeah. Put in $100. Don't put in $125. You'll have $225 to gamble with.
There you go.
Stick with what you know. That's always my advice. Don't go by the national guys, because they're going to lead you down the wrong path. Go with what you know, which is typically your team, the AFC North. Stick with what you know, and I think you'll have success.
Yep, absolutely. So make sure you are you're using the link in the description. It helps us out, and of course, you get access to that promo. So make sure you do so. But Glenn, any parting thoughts you want to provide here?
Yeah, I think it's interesting when you look at the schedule of the preseason. They don't play again till Monday the 21st, but then I believe they turn around and play again 5 days later on the 26th.
Yeah,
so it kind of leads me to think that this next preseason game is really the one that's going to be the determining factor for a lot of these guys. I think that last one, you know, I hate to say it, I think it's going to be a bunch of guys who'll be playing their last games of professional football in the third preseason game. So if you really want to take an interest in some of these battles, like the QB2 battle. Hopefully, Huntley can get back healthy, even though he kind of ran away with it in that first one. But, the running back room, the wide receiver battle, what the hell is going on at corner, left guard competition. There's a lot of competitions that I think will be settled in this upcoming week 2, a preseason game against the Commanders. I think that third one is just enjoy your last game as a pro, boys, because I don't think we're going to see anyone of meaning in that third one.
Yeah, I can't disagree with you on that, Glenn. I think it's only going to be for the guys that are putting on tape for, either the XFL, the USFL, or NFL.
Practice squads.
Yeah, practice squads, stuff like that, and we wish them the best, but it the truth sometimes is harsh. So, make sure to tune into that game, and it's going to be an interesting one because they just practice against these guys. It's going to be just down the road.
Bad blood might carry over from the practice
field.
And
there's going to be some familiarity naturally, so I think it's going to be a lot of fun. So just right down the road, of course, in D.C., in Arlington, right, is where it's at.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And it's on Monday Night Football, so get your popcorn out, enjoy it. And the cool thing is we'll be back tomorrow night, so you get a double dose back-to-back with us. Make sure you come hang out.
Yeah, we have a guest tomorrow night as well. Oh, yeah. Luke Jones, I believe, will be joining us.
From Better Baltimore, right?
Yep, which is exciting. He's been on with us. I'm about to check
Baltimore Positive.
Be More Positive. Be More Positive. He's been Better on with Baltimore. Us before. He works for WNST. He does a heck of a good job. He's there every practice.
And he is absolutely the nicest human in media.
No doubt. They got a lot of nice guys.
Luke is just always he's always super nice. I mean, it's just anyway,
so he'll be a good guy to be out there to. I mean, he's seen everything that's happened. That's been available. He's seen it firsthand. So it'll be kind of fun to get his take on all these interesting tidbits, including what the heck the Ravens are going to do at corner until Marlon's able to get back out there.
Yep.
But that's it for us tonight. It was a good time. Thank you guys for all joining us going on. Appreciate you coming out. Adam, Tanja, thanks for coming out. Lewis, I should say. Don C. Latanya Brooks.
Over 200 deep tonight.
Yeah, absolutely. The truth is the light. Appreciate you coming out. No Surrender, Joseph Eckert, Ravens Win, Mitty Rawl. I appreciate all of you. Everyone who watched silently, appreciate you as well.
Yeah.
And like Jimmy said, we'll be back tomorrow.
See ya. Double see ya.